Give me the lights. Both lights, please. The love is in the house. Love is in the air. Don't let me get that Barry White voice going on. Love is in the air. Well. I'm going to need some help on delivering this message today. So the minstrel has been summoned. We're living in a time that many would say it's the peril times. And we're not living in the good times, but things are getting bad. And when we see so many things transpiring in our life today, we believe that bad things are happening. But it's about how you see things. It's about how you can perceive what God is doing. We can be angry and bitter at what life has thrown our way. But not everything that comes your way is going to be pleasant. Life was not meant for you not to have a storm. Life was made for it to be a storm. But at the end of every storm, the promise always comes out. In the midst of every adversity that comes your way, there's always a sign of His promise. There's a sign that signifies that even though the storm has come to wipe away what sin has separated man from God, there's a promise that says, I'll never do it again. I will never flood the earth and bring destruction upon my creation. But that didn't mean that God's judgment would not come back. It didn't mean that you were never going to face the hand of judgment from God. It just signifies that I will never flood the earth and kill the inhabitants of the land. But we get caught up in the times. In the times that we're in, that now they're making the churches, you know, everything that took place. And I've been watching some of the Facebook postings. Trust me, it's real easy for me to get right in that too and just run. You know me, I don't like to text much. And if I do, it's a one-liner. But boy, I wanted to write a book on Facebook and let them know. But then the Lord says, son, you're going to get into a debate that you don't want to do. That's not a platform for us to begin to let people know where we stand. Our platform is your everyday life. That when you walk around, people see the love of God that's in you. And when they ask you, what is your stand on this? The Word of God. Well, can you define that? If you don't know what the Word of God is, why do I have to explain it to you? Why argue with you if you don't even know what my stand is? You just ignorant because you don't know. Go find out truth. Then you know what I stand for. I don't have to tell you where I stand. You should already see it in me. When I see all these people changing colors, the ultimate color is red. When I see you, I see the blood of Christ. When I see you and your disposition, what you're going through, I see the blood of Christ. When I see you down and out and looking for your next bump, meaning the next hit from your drug, I see Christ. Because in everything that we're going through, Christ is always there. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And when he died on the cross of Calvary, that was not the ending, that was the beginning. We stand because Christ stood for us. How did he stand? They nailed him to a tree. Those that were cursed were nailed to a tree. And they put him in a standing position. He stood for all of humanity. You think God didn't know what was going on? You didn't think God knew what was about to take place, even though it's illegal what just took place? Tell me, I'm looking at me. I don't know what's going on. I don't watch the news. There's too much bad news. Well, guess what? If you're not informed, you're not going to know how to deal with some things. And if people want to say, well, someone needs to tell me, how about you going and looking and see what's going on? Relying on everybody else to tell you. We have a discernment. Everyone. Which is the Holy Spirit. This is no surprise what took place. And it didn't surprise God either. He writes about it in the wonderful Gospel of Luke. Luke 17:26. I'll tell you this. Luke 17:25-27. And I'll read this to you. You don't have to go there. Luke 17:25-27. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And just as it happened in the days of Noah, so will it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. We can read that, and it's just a Bible story. It's just a Bible story about the ark and Noah and the animals. I'm seriously thinking about this, and with all you theologians in here, hold up before you start judging me. I want to write and put together a book of the four Gospels and do it in today's vernacular. Today's scenario, with my twisted mindset, and put it out there for people to read. And put the disclaimer, because you're going to have to put a disclaimer, because all these people are going to come and attack me. Oh, you just adding to the Word of God? No, I'm expanding. You know, I've had many promises given to me. So many that said, I'm going to do this for you, I'm going to do that for you. Well, if I had a dime for every promise they made me, I wouldn't have to worry about anything. The Lord says that what's inside of you is what's going to make a difference in your life. What's inside of you makes a difference in your life. So don't rely on the outward. Someone outside. Rely what's inside. So it will be just as the days of Noah. Now, here's the thing that I find very interesting. This is not my message, but I'm just going to kind of set this up before I even mount the pulpit, okay? Is this all right? Told the minister, I need you up early because I feel this and there's going to be some resistance. No, I feel it. It's no different. But God tells Noah to start building an ark. Build a boat. Build a boat. What's that? Build a what? A boat. Matter of fact, you're not going to have any help. Just build it. There's not going to be a Lowe's or a Home Depot around. Just build it. And you're going to want to go and recruit some people, but they're not going to help you because they don't know what you're doing. And when people look at you, they're going to think you're crazy. I spoke to you when you were young just so it would just kind of take you a while to do it, because I'm letting you know I'm going to give them an opportunity out there to come and ask you what you're doing. What you building? A boat. It's going to rain. Webster wasn't around during the time. There was no, what is that, ask, what's his name on the internet? Ask Jeeves. There was no, they couldn't even, you know, they couldn't even log in on the internet. That's pretty bad, right? Nowadays, if we don't find an internet connection, we're going crazy. And if we're driving down the highway and we don't have service, we done lost our natural mind. You know, we're looking for a reception, but if we're not connected, we don't hear clearly. Have you ever been on a phone call with someone that's wearing a Bluetooth? Windows down. Right, all you hear is all that wind blowing thing, and you can't hear a word. Babe, I'm gonna go. Love you. Right? You're like, what? There's some things that are happening because we're not connected. There's not a clear connection. See, when he spoke to Noah, he says, I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to understand it, but you got to trust me what I say. You got to trust me. You're not going to understand it. And all these crazy people, and don't start going to that movie with Russell Crowe. Don't even think. Just get rid of that. That's not even biblical. Now, can you think about you building something? How many times have you just started doing something for God and people come up and ask you a question about what you're doing for God? Right? How many of you have experienced that? You're starting to do something for God, and all of a sudden people start to ask, what are you doing? Oh, you shouldn't do that, though. How many of you have the naysayers? Huh? You know, when you're doing right, you're doing what you're supposed to do, you have the naysayers that come in, right? Those ones say, nay. Shouldn't be doing that. Here's this one. They give you their opinion. I think you should do it this way. Because the way I did it, but you didn't do nothing. You don't even know what you're talking about. Ooh. See why I needed a minstrel? It's not that much left. People want to give you their instructions the way they said they were going to do it, but they've never done it. Or they've never even been successful in what they're trying to give you advice on. I'm going to teach you how to be a business owner. And where's your business? About chapter 11, but it's okay. I did it right the first time. Now. How about you do it the way God told you to do it? Regardless of what comes your way, regardless of how many people are going to try to talk you out of it, just do it the way God said to do it and don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Is that right? Can you imagine if Noah said, oh, you know what, God, I got this. Instead of me making it this big, I'm going to shorten it because it can be more, you know, fuel economy. If he would have shortened the process, you think it would have floated? Because if you take away from what God has told you to do, it causes destruction. Or what about when you add to it? I guarantee you it's gonna cause so much stuff. You know, like when they send you, you know, like most men do, maybe some of the women do, when you're gonna put something together that you get from IKEA. You ever been shopping at IKEA? When you go out in the showroom, beautiful. How'd they fit that big old living room set in one box? And then you got to put it together. They always send extra parts. Always. Always the extra parts, right? You put it together. And you don't really read the instructions. You just look at the picture. But then you wonder why there's so many extra parts. We don't need that. They send extra because they know we're going to lose something. So these are the extras. So then you go and pull the drawer out of that entertainment center and it all comes out. See, when we don't do what God says, it's going to cause damage. Well, it's the same thing as when he told us in the Bible there's certain things that we must abide by and we're not to compromise. When we compromise, it causes destruction. When we compromise, it hurts individuals. Yourself, those around you, those following you, and those yet to be born. We're in a season right now that people compromised. Before you start going to where you think I'm going, hold on. It's my message. Don't preach it. Hold on. We compromise based on what we feel is right. We've taken, and the Lord has been giving me messages concerning how taking this grace a little bit too far. And we start using this grace as, well, the Lord says love. We're going to love, Josh. We're going to love. But I remember back in the day, love. You know, when I give my stories, y'all probably look at my mom like she's. Like a little Hitler or something, because she was always having to deal with me. And see, but growing up, she may have been 5'2", 1 or 5. And always had a size, we're back, I think 5 foot, my 5 shoe. So I figured, what is a size 5 slipper going to do to me? Size 5, give me a 12 and I'll be scared, right? But here's the thing. Love sometimes hurts. See, usually love hurts is when they're telling you the truth. The truth don't always feel good, does it? No, wait, I think we could, you know, tell me the truth. And you know, was a few good men, and what's his name? Jack Nicholson. You can't handle the truth. You can't handle the truth, because if you could handle the truth, you would tell it and wouldn't mind being told it. But what has happened is we've watered down the truth for so long. We water it down and we only give you half truth. But I'm speaking truth. It's the truth. No, we're not living together. We just stay together every now and then for 6 months until the lease is up. Y'all looking at me like, oh, Pastor, why are you going there? Well, hold up now. I'm just examples. And they're already talking about, Pastor, you don't know what it is to be single. Shoot. Some of y'all are married and still single. God said, you better help me. See, what happened? I hit a nerve. I done hit a nerve. We think by being married, we're safe. Just because we're married means that in the eyes of God, I have the right, because I'm protected by the grace of God. You may need to understand some mercy for real. That when God takes his hand off of you and lets you go and do what you know you shouldn't be doing. Some of y'all are already trying to preach this to me. Well, God would not let anything happen to me. Really? How's that worked out for you the past 6 years? Because God is going to let some things happen in your life because he's been giving you warning after warning after warning. And you don't want to listen. You want to do it your way like Burger King and make a big old mess out of it. And you want to do it the way you feel it's right. So you think that because you're married, you can have extracurricular activities on the side. And as long as nobody knows, it ain't going to hurt nobody. Like you can hide from God. You think that being out there, we're not, my name is not on the lease, but we stay together every now and then. But we sleep in separate rooms. Some of y'all were like, okay, well. If we're married, we should be. If we're married, then. Are you? Are you married? Because if you're married... You shouldn't be sleeping in separate rooms. You snore too loud. I'm going to sleep over here. You said yes to the snoring. You said yes to the midnight kind of snoring, walking in your sleep. You said I do to whatever comes your way. But I got to get up early. You said I do in the eyes of God. Doesn't mean you go to that separate bedroom with your laptop. Your cell phone. Woo. Or having yourself a separate account, a hidden account, just to say I'm married, to cover up what's really inside. How about this? How about... We're back in the Old Testament. They had more than one wife. You know, there's some religions out there that you can have many wives, you know. And now we have those that are on TV, reality TV, and they got three wives. If that's really your wife, you can only really deal with one. Come on now. Help me preach this thing. You got to be answering a three? What you say? Some of them like... Yeah, I know y'all looking at me like, what? But look, don't get it all twisted now. Because what happened is many people begin to start using old ways and start conforming to the new ways. But this is how they used to be. David had so many concubines that when David died, they wanted to know if he was really alive. They put a young naked virgin in his bed. If he moves, he ain't dead. Oh, really? Read your Bible. Y'all think like, man, they have this in the Bible? Yeah! David... We had to pray for David's eyes. You know, his eyes were... Hey. Yo soy rey. It means I'm king. I'm king. I have a crown for you. All this is yours. You just got to share it with the other 25 I have. Right? Right? You read it. But it don't read about what the women say. You don't read about what is going on in the concubine. You don't read about when they're in the room getting prepared before they go to the king. Because you know back in the day, they were hood. That street. They were street. Okay, street. You're going to go see the king today. And then the neighbor of the concubine, shoot, I'm going to go see you. He don't even really like you. He likes me. He tells me every time he's with me, he tells me I'm his special one. You're the special one at the moment. Some of you men in here better stop that. If you in love, you make it right. You make it right. But how do I know? I know that's my soulmate. I'm just not going to commit just yet. Shut up. If this is who you desire to give your life to, then you make it right. And don't be test driving in the meantime. The church has lost its position of authority because of the way we deal with our personal life that people can see on the outside of church. Christians have become like chameleons. They walk into a church, they're all white and holy. They walk outside, they're black like a black mamba snake. They change colors all the time. You can't even get near them. We can hug in church. You get outside, you go, don't even come near me. Only because pastor said to say I love you. Didn't mean I love you. Y'all look at me. Some of you visitors, you're like, I don't know why we came to this church today. God said, I don't know why I'm here, but maybe it's just me and you. I don't have separate accounts. It's not a prophetic one. Hold up. Y'all need to really pray for your pastor. I was asking God, what am I going to tell these folks today? Because God, I know every time I begin to start speaking, you start changing things up and I'm getting slapped too. Okay, ease up. He says, just tell them how I used to deal with you. No. I used to have a separate checking account. A stash in my boot. Mm-hmm. I act like, oh my God, really? You have it too? You just put that $100 bill, you pulled it up so tight, you put it inside your wallet so your husband doesn't find it. I know. Mm-mm. And then those husbands have, they get a little thirsty. So they don't get home right after work, you know. I went to go get gas. Yeah, for your tank. We've got to be open. We've got to be real. We got to be honest. We have to be honest. The enemy is coming in to devour the church. But here's the crazy thing, is the church is not even keen to what's going on. We're not discerning the move of the enemy. Show me your glory, God. Show me your glory. And he tells you about your sin. You're like, no. Show me your glory. He reveals the big old plank in your eye. No. Take it. No. Your glory, God. Start looking for clouds. You start looking for gold dust. And you sprinkle glitter. I got the God. You have got to stop it and do what he's been showing you because he's revealing himself to you about you. So if we can get the church right to see that we can't compromise or we're going to stand on the landmine that is going to destroy the church. See, landmines are out there in the field of battle, but you can't see them. They're hidden under the surface. Hello. Under the surface. Look to your neighbor and say, are you a landmine? Stop it. I'm just playing. Hey, y'all did it right away. You're not a landmine. No. You're not going to make them explode because you're the one that's going to trip them up. Y'all went, are you the landmine? Are you the landmine? Maybe it's you. Are you the landmine? You're going to make me stumble and fall. You're the landmine to yourself. Because you don't listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to give you the way out before you sin. Hello. Say, but I don't sin. You just did. He knows what you're about to do before you even begin to think. He's like, oh, there goes Marty again. There go the angels. They're tired already working with Marty. It's you again. We were just here 5 minutes ago. the Holy Spirit says, just stand there with them. You may have to nudge them a little bit. Yeah, y'all laughing at me because I'm using me as an example. But you know how you do it. You know how you do it. We play around thinking that nobody's watching. God sees everything. This whole thing that's going on, he saw it coming. He wrote about it in the Gospel of Mark. He's, oh, wait a minute. It's going to happen. All this has to happen before I return. See, I was indignant. I was very upset. So I was going to start writing based on my emotions. So you better stop. You're going to hurt folks. I love gay people. I do. Because they're God's people. Their lifestyle that they choose to do, that's them. That's not what I choose to do. I love them. If you don't know me by now, I love people. I do. You can come in wearing purple hair. Gauges, tattoos, whatever. I love you. I don't care. Love you. Your lifestyle is your lifestyle. You choose it. But the moment you try to put your lifestyle on me, then you make me have to tell you where I stand. But if you are always living your life the way you're supposed to live, they will never even ask you because they know where you stand. They know who you are. And they know whose you are. So you don't compromise. So whatever is hidden underneath the surface as a landmine to destroy the very work of God in your life, the Holy Spirit is going to reveal where the landmine is. So that you don't walk in that direction of compromise, you stand firm with what God has said. And when you stand firm. Not in hatred, not in judgment. The perception that I see now, hold on, because I was just like everybody, other Christians, I was reading a quote. They're going off on a tangent. Oh yeah, but the Lord says this in the Old Testament. Shut it. Who are you going to win to Christ on Facebook? Huh? It's time for you to repent, say, you know, believe in Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. Stop it. That's not a platform. That is not a platform. Platform is your life. So that when he brings people around you from all walks of life, your love will cast out fear. Fear. But before it says love, it says perfect love. The perfect love cast out all fear. What's perfect love? His love. Not yours, because you have a tendency to, I love you, but I only love you a little bit. Or I love you, but I love you from a distance. God's perfect love is, he'll eat with tax collectors and sinners. He'll be around the prostitutes. He'll be around those that have disease. That's the perfect one. So then here we get all these people start telling us, oh, but you know what? Don't be yoked with the unbelievers. That's why the devil uses scripture to bind you. Then who are we going to go save? The church again? Go save the church again. They need saving. But don't go out to the clubs because, you know, there's where the sinners are. Well, you think the sinners are going to come into church on their own? Do you think the drug addicts are going to say, no, I'm going to go to church today. Because I could probably make some money that I could probably sell it to the deacons, the elders. Because, you know, they're so tired of being working in the ministry that they just need a little. Right? Shoo, this is fair game in here. Okay, not this church, because y'all got mad already. Stop it. This is the Ark of the Covenant is here. Okay? Nobody's going to get hurt here. You know, the drug dealers will go to church looking for anybody, and they can kick you out in a heartbeat. Oh, in a heartbeat. And I used to sell drugs. Just an example. Chill out. Why, they know. Just like every spirit knows its counterpart. Every unclean demonic spirit knows its friend. Now, the friend of escapism is looking for someone that has been wounded in the heart, finds it real quick, and starts speaking to them about being accepted. Finds that individual. Oh, here you go. It's on me. I love you. I'm going to affirm you. They start using the church now. I'm going to affirm you. I'm not saying you're a bad boy. I'm just going to use you. Okay. There's some rejection issues, so I'm just telling you, man, I got you. Whatever you need, you call me. I'll get it for you. Whatever you need. You know, I need a new pair of kicks, you know. The new Jordans came out, and these are all kind of fun. I got you. Besides you, I'll go get them for you. Huh? Simple. For a drug dealer, that's nothing. Just a new pair of shoes. There you go. Now you become yoked. Now you become yoked. Because now what you did is you compromised. Do you see the difference? Yoking is not about you just being in the presence of someone that is a sinner. Because then Jesus would have made that scripture false. He would have made it false when the woman with the issue of blood touched him. Sinner. She should have never been touching him. First of all, she should have never been there because of the Levitical law says you can't be near him. She should have been stoned to death. Stoned to death. Rocks. This church is... Now, so Jesus was not yoked to her, but what she did is yoked to him, and what drew out? Virtue. See, we must know something that's going to happen, and I've been saying this and saying this, I've been telling you, it's going to get bad out there. Bad. You better be ready. Because God's going to start sending the animals in. Some of you are like, what are you talking about? Coming on, they're already calling me the Hulk. When the animals come in, are you going to be loving and willing to accept them? Because if you're willing to accept them, they're going to draw virtue from you. See, it's when we, as the believers, get yoked up to a belief system or get yoked up with people that serve another God. Right? That would never happen to a righteous person, right? We are never going to go to and serve another God. We would never do that. Right? Would you go serve another God? How many of you would go serve another God? Raise your hand. Your job, your husband, your money, your car, your truck, no? Your children, hey. Food. Don't be playing with my food, man. Oh, I need deliverance for. But what happens is, it's subtle. It's underneath the surface. We can't detect it. And if we can't detect it, we can stumble. And we can fall into compromise. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Kings 11. 1 Kings 11. I'll have you out here in just a minute, I promise. I'm going to take my time with this. Can you imagine, as you guys are looking up 1 Kings 11, we're going to read verses 1 through 11. 1 Kings 11, 1 through 11. But as you guys are getting there, can you imagine the people that were watching Noah build the ark? Thinking he's crazy. He's off his rocker. He done lost his mind. There was a saying that, se fue el pájaro. You know that? So Mexican saying that all the intelligence left. Well, but when it started raining, what do you think they started thinking then? This is falling from the sky. Never seen it before. But then the flood. Can you imagine them now running to the ark? Let me in. And there ain't no tree monsters out there protecting the ark. If you haven't watched that movie, that is so ridiculous. Tree monsters protecting the ark. Whatever God tells you to do, and you do it, He guards it, He protects it Himself. But can you imagine the people trying to flock to it now? Because all of a sudden they believe now what was said then, years ago. Oh, help me now. I'm telling you, what has just taken place, it caused all kinds of uproar and stir within the church, and people are all mad and this and that. Chill out. Be still. And know that He is God. Know He's God. And when you know that He's God, you're going to know that this is part of the plan. This is part of prophecy before He returns. What is it? It is when people that are caught up in what they're in right now are looking for a way out. But they're looking for someone that will just trust them enough to say, there is God in you, and that's the God I need. We need people ready and in position to receive this great harvest. What you just witnessed, and I'm going to say it, and I don't even never heard this before, but I feel it in my spirit. This is the awakening. This is the awakening. What did it do? It awakened the church. All of these that have been so comfortable in their little cocoon, they've been awakened to the threat of the enemy. Can I remind you the enemy doesn't sleep? Can I remind you that his plans are always working perpetually to stop the church? This is no different. So what is trying to take place right now is part of God's plan to get us to the great harvest, to bring the people that need a loving Father. We've got to be in position. But we can't be acting a fool, living the way we want to live, walking out there and saying, it's okay because I'm a Christian. That means you must be Christ-like. Christianity is not a religion. You're not in here because this is a religion. Christianity is a way of life. To be Christ-like. Acting in here like we're holy because we hold a Bible. We know all the songs from back in the day, today and tomorrow. Thinking that you're Christ-like, but when you're out there, you're trying to hide certain things. Shoot. I don't want to get started. 1 Kings 11, verse 1. King Solomon loved many foreign women in addition to Pharaoh's daughter. See, he was one of those international players. See what I mean? You have me start writing it, y'all would think, it's crazy. Many foreign women. He went outside of what God already instructed him to do. He should have never went outside the lines. He loved Hittite women and women from Moab, Ammon, Edom, and Sidon. They came from the nations about which the Lord had said to the people of Israel, never intermarry with them. They will surely tempt you to follow their gods. But Solomon was obsessed with their love. He had 700 wives. That's what I said. He was eating Tums all the time. He had gray hair from stress. He couldn't sleep at night. It's not in there. I'm not reading it. I'm just... You're like, that's not in my Bible. Watch this. And it gets worse. 700 wives who were princesses, and then 300 wives who were concubines. Watch this. In his old age, his wives tempted him to follow other gods. He was no longer committed to the Lord, his God, and his father David had been. Solomon followed Asherah, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Milcom, the disgusting idol of the Ammonites. So Solomon did what the Lord considered evil. He did not wholeheartedly follow the Lord as his father David had done. Then Solomon built an illegal worship site on the hill east of Jerusalem for Chemosh, the disgusting idol of Moab, and for Molech, the disgusting idol of the Ammonites. Let me just stop with it real quick. This is a very prophetic verse. That these temples were built on the east side of the temple of God. That depicts a prophetic statement that in the days to come, altars would be built in the new coming day, opposing the church. These gods and these altars that were built, if you understand what these gods represent, I've been preaching. These are gods of sensuality, sexual perversion. Do you know that right now, there is a debate for pro-life? Before y'all get all twisted, start getting mad at Pastor Wade. You don't understand. So hold up now. They want to legalize the abortion at any stage, for any age, for any child. Because they're saying it's not a child. It's not a baby. It doesn't know it's a baby. Just like you don't know you're a fool. All of these things are taking place right now. Where? On the window of a new day. See, when they would build the temple door always faced east. Always. So now he built these altars right outside the door of the church. And this is what's taking place right now. See, when Solomon, of course, he was the most wealthiest man. Queen of Sheba tried to test him. But guess what happened? He passed those tests. But the test that he couldn't pass was the test of the flesh. Didn't his father have the same issue? I just said it, that when he was about to die, or when they thought he was dead, they put that young virgin in the bed, naked. If that man moves, he's good. So what happened to the generation that followed? The one that was supposed to build the temple? Solomon built the temple. Right after he builds the temple, he starts following after the wives. Watch. You know where he first went wrong? He started buying horses from Egypt. Okay, hold me, because this is going to get maybe a little Sunday. Some of y'all only come to church on Sunday, so read in your Bible, you won't get lost. It speaks about that in the end time, it speaks about the horses that are going to be revealed. The horses that are revealed from heaven are coming down with different colors. The horses are not coming from Egypt, from the underworld. They're coming from heaven. These are the horses that can only be ridden on by the Holy of Holies. Do you understand this? But when you begin to start building your kingdom around what you think is going to bring you victory by reaching into the world system and gaining what you think is good for you, that's when you hit the first landmine of compromise. He had 700 chariots. 700 wives. I guess he had to get him a car for each one. Y'all, you know you want yours. Y'all probably want the Benz on there or BMW. So he had to trick it out. Did you trick? No. He had to fix it up. Now, he asked for Egypt to send horses. Not just any horses. These were amazing horses. beautiful horses, strong horses. This is what's sad out in the world. Now I'm not going to say it. No. Oh. I'll just give you a description, and then you can. When men have the big trucks, the big wheels, the compensation for some. Okay. Some of y'all are like, oh, I got you. Now listen. Solomon had everything. He had people counting his money, and they got so tired, they quit counting. He had everything. But he never dealt with the generational curse of his father that continued on, even though he was chosen. And then watch this. And even God tells him, I will destroy Israel, but I will save one. I will save one of your descendants to keep the promise that I made to your father. But wait a minute, David sinned too? How is God going to make a promise to the one that sinned? His promises go for generation to generation to generation. So the promise that he has told us, the descendants of Abraham, the father of our faith, that he will make us a nation great in multitude that we can't even count. This is the very beginning. Are you hearing this? Of a great influx into the church. To all churches from all denomination, many are coming back. I just preached about it, talking about the prodigal son, the prodigal father, and Father's Day, right? They're coming back. What are you going to do when they get here? Hey, listen. Don't sit next to me. I don't want to get what you have. I feel an off spirit. Hello. Maybe it's your spirit you're feeling. What would have Jesus done? Oh, remember the break. What would Jesus do? Reach, love, touch, and release virtue. They still smell like they've been. It smells like scotch. How do you know? People are coming from all walks of life to churches all across America. Even though America is taking God out of schools, taking God out of the system. Now, what they're trying to pass now, because they've done this, that any preacher that denies to do gay marriage, they can be imprisoned. Any preacher that says no to a gay marriage, they can be imprisoned. They're trying to pass that. Isn't it crazy, right? Isn't it crazy? Huh? This is the end times, people. As of right now, as it stands right now, if there was a transgender, Bruce Jenner, what's her name? Caitlyn. I always mess that up. Caitlyn comes in here, decides to go to the men's restroom, and one of us stop Caitlyn from going into the men's restroom. Guess what happens? We come under lawsuit and they can shut us down. That stands right now in San Antonio, Texas. Right now. Castro, Julian Castro. Yeah. It's all part of the plan. It's all part of the plan. See, we get all mad. Oh, I can't believe that. And I got a little beef with Julian Castro right now. A little bit of beef. I graduated from Robert E. Lee High School. All right. I am, I'm a rebel for God, but not a rebel. Okay. The Confederate flag. Fragment. Confederate fragment. Right. Now, he gets all mad because now it's offensive to him. All of this is part of the plan. It's part of it. The church cannot be angry about it knowing that this is where it's leading. Change our perspective. Change the way we view it. See, when God came to Moses, he came with a burning bush so he could speak to him, get his attention. He probably passed this bush so many times. This time it was burning. He said, hey, that's a little strange. But then he kind of sidesteps to get a different view of the bush. And that's when the Lord spoke. To get a different perspective is what we need to see. We can't walk around bitter because of all this stuff that's going on. They're taking our rights away. Let me remind you of what's going to happen in the book of Revelation. They're going to take your Bibles out. You're not going to be able to profess the name of Jesus. And then if you do profess the name of Jesus, they're going to threaten to kill you. Hello? Do you think that's thousands of years away? No, that's happening right now. Right now. There's many martyrs out there that are out there preaching the name of Jesus Christ, and their heads are being decapitated because they're standing for what is right and what is truth. We're getting to that age within the church right now that many are saying, you know what? I want my life. It's more important. I don't know the scriptures of Allah and this and that, but I don't even know Jesus. I just want to save my life. That's why Jesus said, you want to save your life? Give your life. Give your life. We're in a time right now that is difficult. We're in a time right now where people don't even know what to do anymore. Solomon caved in to the landmine of compromise, and he lost the kingdom. It was stripped, and the very beautiful thing that he built before God became a ruin that many saw. That's what happened when you turn away from God. I told you something's happening to this nation, and it's going to be very, very bad. You think the government is in control. The government can do nothing without God. Nothing. You have to know that you're covered by the blood. You're protected. Now is the time for us to get back on our knees and pray for this nation. Pray for this nation. Pray for the pastors and leaders of churches all across America. Because what's going to happen when all these people start running into the church, and if we're not ready, what's going to happen is that the church is going to be exiting out and following after them and caving in to compromise. We can't compromise. To the day that I die, I will always profess the name of Jesus Christ. He's been too good to me. He's done great miracles for me. If he does nothing else for me, he's already done everything for me. That's what we have to walk by. Well, I didn't get my blessing. You're going to heaven. He's protecting you. Hello. Well, I want my blessing now. Well, then straighten up. Straighten up. He says, I cast not my pearls before swine. Well, you know, that's not what he was talking about. He's talking about Revelation. It's the revealing truth. You want a blessing? The revealing truth will come. But he first is going to speak to your spirit now. Speak to your soul so that you can get things right. So in that particular verse, he follows after these his wives' gods, and he loses it. And it says here that the Lord told Solomon, because this is your attitude and you have no respect for my promise of my laws that I command you to keep, I will certainly tear the kingdom away from you. I will give it to one of your servants. Here's what I want to say to you in closing. I will finish this at another time. I will go over, is all compromise wrong? Is the first step the most dangerous? The nature of compromise, the consequence of compromise, and to avoid compromise. I will finish this sermon later. I'll do a series on it. But I wanted to speak to you this prophetic word. I know that God has been speaking all across the land. Many have been declaring revival, awakening, an outpouring of the Spirit. we first have to understand that we need to get right. Now's your opportunity to say, God, I want to make it right. Many would call this, in church vernacular, casting the net. Casting the net is to see that we are fisher of men and to ask and see of those of you that would like to give your life to Christ. You know, you're in a church service with many that are saved and have given their life to Christ, and you can discern, is this message for me, or have I compromised along the way? But I want to cast this net right now, and this net is for those that says, you know, I'm going to make it right. I'm going to make it right. I don't want to lose what God has promised me. I'm not talking your eternal life. If you've given your life to Christ, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But along this life that you walk in this journey, we make mistakes in life. Some of these mistakes are willful mistakes. We make them quite often, and we know that sometimes we just do them because it feels good. It's still sin. It still is. Yes, it's covered by the blood. But if you willfully commit this sin and you continue to do it, you haven't totally surrendered yourself to God. You need to turn away from it. You need to be honest with yourself and with God right now. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, you can say, I don't want to compromise, God. I want to trust you. I want to walk this right path that you have before me. But the things that I am doing, have done, or even thought about doing, I ask you to help me so that I can overcome this and willingly give it to you. If that's you, get up here to the altar.